I've been behaving quite disgracefully, Chief Inspector. I'm ashamed of myself.
It was only natural that you should feel upset.
Well, everyone was upset. I'd no reason to make out it was worse for me than anyone else.
Hadn't you, Miss Gregg?
You're very perceptive. Yes, I had. I'm a coward. Somebody wanted to kill me, and I didn't want to die.
Why do you think someone wanted to kill you?
Because it was my glass that had been tampered with. It was just a mistake that poor, stupid woman got it. Besides...
Yes, Miss Gregg?
Jason says I must tell you all about it.
You've confided in him, then?
I didn't want to do so at first, and then when I did, I found out that he thought so himself all along.
You haven't told me why you should think someone might want to kill you.
You better look at this.
Don't think you'll escape next time. When did you get this?
It was on my dressing table when I came out of my bath this morning.
So someone in the house?
Not necessarily. Someone could have climbed onto the balcony outside my window. I think they meant to frighten me still more, but actually it made me snap out of it. I just felt furiously angry, and I sent word to you to come and see me.
Is this the first message that you've had?
No. No, the first one was left in my dressing room at the studio. Oh. It said, "Prepare to die." Well, I thought it was one of those religious cranks who have it in for actresses. I just tore it up and threw it into the wastebasket.
And subsequently?
There was one more. On the morning of the fete, one of the gardeners brought it in. He'd found it on the sundial. "These are your last hours on Earth." I didn't think for a minute that it was a genuine threat.
And have you any idea who might have written these notes?
How can I possibly tell?
I think you might have quite a good idea, Miss Gregg.
I haven't. I assure you, I haven't.
You're a very famous person. You've had great successes. Men have fallen in love with you. Women have been jealous and envied you. Surely you must have some idea of who could have written these notes.
Jason, darling, the Chief Inspector is insisting that I must know who wrote those horrid notes. You know I don't. None of us knows.
I realize it must seem unbelievable to you, but honestly, neither Marina nor I have any idea about this business.
Very well, Mr. Rudd. There's one more thing I'd like to ask your wife. You remember Mr. and Mrs. Babcock's arrival at the reception? Now, I am told that immediately after greeting them, you looked over Mrs. Babcock's shoulder and saw something which seemed to alarm you. Is that true? And if so, what was it?
Of course it isn't true. What could have alarmed me?
That's what I want to know. There were people coming up on the staircase. There was a Mr. Grice and his wife who've lived in the village for years. There was Ardwick Fenn, who's just arrived from the States. And there was Miss Lola Brewster. Was it the sight of one of those people that upset you?
I tell you, I wasn't upset.
And yet Mrs. Babcock said something to you which you left unanswered because you were staring past her at something else.
If you knew anything about acting in the theatre, you would be able to understand quite easily. There comes a point when you know a part well and you go on playing it mechanically, but your mind isn't on it. And quite suddenly, there comes a horrible blank moment when you don't know where you've got to in the play or what your next lines are. Well, that's what happened to me at the reception. My mind went blank. Then I realized Mrs. Babcock had been telling me a long story that I hadn't heard at all and was looking at me in an eager sort of way, and that I hadn't answered her. That's all it was. Just tiredness.
Just tiredness. You insist on that?
Yes. I can't see why you don't believe me.
Mr. Rudd, I think you're more likely to understand me than your wife is. I'm concerned for her safety. The only way we can achieve that is for you to give me all the clues you possibly can. I don't say you know who the person is that made the attempt, but I do think you must be able to hazard a guess. If you don't know the truth, will you urge your wife to tell me?
You hear what he says, Marina. If you do know something, then don't be foolish about it. If you've the least suspicion of anyone, tell us now.
But I haven't. You must believe me.
There were two people on the stairs you must have been surprised to see. Mr. Fenn and Miss Brewster. You didn't know they were coming, did you?
We had no idea they were even in England.
I was delighted. Absolutely delighted.
Delighted? To see Miss Brewster?
Well, of course.
Lola Brewster was, I believe, originally married to your third husband, Robert Truscott.
That is so.
He divorced her in order to marry you.
Oh, everyone knows about that. You needn't think you found out something special. Oh, there was a bit of a rumpus at the time, I'll admit.
Did she make threats against you?
Well, in a way, yes. But no one takes those sort of threats seriously. It was at a party and she'd had loads to drink and it was years ago.
And what about your other visitor, Ardwick Fenn?
Oh, he is a very good friend of ours. It was some years since we'd seen him.
Was he an old friend of yours too, Miss Gregg?
Oh, yes. He was a friend of mine always. If you think I looked up and saw Ardwick and was frightened of him, well, that's nonsense. I was just very pleased. It was a delightful surprise.
Thank you, Miss Gregg. If you should feel inclined at any time to take me a little further into your confidence, I should strongly advise you to do so.
Miss Marple speaking.
Jane, this is Dolly.
Dolly.
I thought I should tell you. That secretary woman, Zielinski, I think she's called, was ringing someone from the public call box in the road, and she went out of her way to explain to me, quite unnecessarily, that she was ringing from there because the line at Gossington Hall was out of order. But I've just rung there, and it isn't.
Really? Now, that is interesting.
For what reason, do you think?
Well, clearly she didn't want to be heard.
Exactly. It's suspicious, don't you think?
I'd certainly like to know what she's up to.
I'm off to London, Frank. I've got hold of a piece of information that I think might interest Miss Marple, but I want to be sure of my facts first. And I think it's time I had a word with Ardwick Fenn and Lola Brewster.
Oh, they're still in London, then?
Yes. Yes, they're over here for the summer.
I'd be very interested to hear what Lola Brewster has to say for herself. She's still top of my list.
But it's all such nonsense. Who on earth would want to kill Marina? She's such a sweetie. Everyone loves her.
Including you, Miss Brewster?
Oh, I'm devoted to her. Always have been.
In spite of that bit of trouble 11 or 12 years ago?
Oh, you mean Rob and Marina going off together?
Hmm?
It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I already knew that Rob and I couldn't possibly last. And anyway, I was passionately in love with Eddie Groves.
And yet, according to what I've heard, you were threatening to shoot her.
Oh, but people expect you to say things like that. It keeps the papers happy. Of course, I really wouldn't shoot anyone.
In spite of taking a pot shot at Eddie Groves 2 years later.
Oh, that was because we'd had an argument. I lost my temper.
I have it on very good authority. In fact, I made a note of it. The bitch needn't think she'll get away with it. If I don't shoot Marina now, I'll get her in some other way. I don't care how long I have to wait, I'll get even in the end.
I'm sure I never said anything of the kind.
I'm sure, Miss Brewster, that you did.
One says all sorts of things when one's mad at people. But I certainly wouldn't have waited 14 years and then dropped a dose of poison in her cocktail glass within 3 minutes of meeting her again. I mean, she was delighted to see me. I couldn't possibly have killed her.
Do you have any idea who might have wanted to do so?
Nobody would have wanted to kill her. She's such a silly woman. Always changing her mind and making a song and dance about everything. Unhappy love affairs, not being able to have children.
But she adopted children, didn't she?
It didn't work out. She does these impossible things and then wishes she hadn't.
What happened to the children?
I've no idea. They just sort of vanished after a bit. She got tired of them. like everything else.
From what I've read in the newspapers, I gather the idea is that Mrs. whatever her name was murdered by mistake. That the dose was intended for Marina.
That's right, Mr. Finn.
I really can't think you would want to poison Marina. After all, Lynette Brown wasn't there.
Lynette Brown?
Well, if Marina breaks her contract, Lynette gets the part, and that would mean a great deal to her. Still, I don't imagine she'd send an emissary along to drop poison in Marina's cocktail. Much too melodramatic, even for Lynette.
It does seem a little far-fetched. Tell me, Mr. Fenn, was Marina Gregg very surprised to see you?
She just couldn't believe her eyes when she saw me coming up the stairs.
You hadn't seen her for a long time?
After 4 or 5 years.
There was a time when you and she were very close friends, I believe.
Well, it would be well, I think, if you made it clear exactly what you mean by that.
It seems to have been a matter of common gossip that you were wildly in love with her.
Well, I had a bit of a yen for it one time, yes. Mercifully, these things pass.
I gather that she turned you down and that you resented the fact.
I wonder where you gathered that from. Confidential magazine? I'm never pleased to be thwarted, and most people who do that tend to be sorry afterwards.
You used your influence to get her dropped from a picture, I believe.
She was unsuitable for the role. Now, there was trouble between her and the director. I had money in that picture, and I had no intention of putting it at risk.
She told a friend of hers that she was afraid of you, I believe.
Now, that was very childish of her, but then she is childish.
You think there was no need for her to be afraid of you?
Of course not. I soon got over my little burst of infatuation. I've always gone on the principle that where women are concerned, there are as good fish in the sea as ever came out of it.
You have a wide knowledge of the world Marina Gregg moves in. Can you suggest anyone likely to have such a grudge against her that they would try to get rid of her?
Probably a dozen. That is, if they didn't have to do anything about it personally. If it were just a matter of pressing a button, I'd say there'd be a lot of willing fingers.
You were there on the day that Heather Badcock died. Do you think any of the people who were around you might have slipped the poison in Marina Gregg's glass?
Yeah, I wouldn't like to say.
That means you have some idea.
It means I have nothing to say on the subject. I wasn't taking much interest in the people who were there. Why don't you talk to that long-haired girl who was taking all the photographs? She certainly had a good look at everybody.
I had my camera just below the top of the stairs so that I could get the guests as they came up and then swing round to take Marina shaking hands with them.
So you had a fairly clear view of her from where you were standing?
Perfect.
Tell me, Miss Bence, did you notice that while she was talking to Mrs. Badcock, she suddenly looked as if she'd been taken ill?
Ill? I wouldn't say that. I take it someone must have noticed it.
One witness said that she looked startled, another that she had a frozen expression on her face.
Frozen? Just a minute. I got the folder out when I heard you were coming. What you say certainly rings a bell. Where the hell is it? Why can you never find things when you want them? Oh, I've got it. Here. She's certainly staring at something.
Sometimes it's hard to make up your mind as to whether witnesses are exaggerating or if they're just imagining that they saw something. But that's not true in this case. There was something to see, and she saw it. Can I keep this photograph?
Oh, yes. You can keep that print.
You didn't send it to the press. It's rather dramatic.
I wouldn't care to do that. If you look into somebody's soul by accident, you feel a bit embarrassed about cashing in.
Did you know Marina Gregg at all?
No.
You come from the States, don't you?
I was born in England. I was trained in America, though. I came back here about 3 years ago.
And how old were you when you went out there?
Just a kid. I was 5.
I have an idea that you know Marina Gregg rather better than you say.
What do you mean by that?
Don't you think it would be better to tell me the truth, Miss Bence? Why don't you admit that Marina Gregg adopted you as a child and that you lived with her for 4 years?
You nosy bastard. Yes, Marina Gregg took me to America. My mother had 8 kids and lived in a slum. She couldn't wait to get me off her hands.
Marina Gregg adopted 3 children, I believe.
Yes. One was American and the other came from Czechoslovakia. Oh, we had a wonderful life. clothes and cars and a wonderful house to live in and people to look after us. And our mama crooning over us and having our picture together in all the film magazines.
And this went on till when?
Until she got sick of that particular bit of play acting. No, that's not true. Until she found she was going to have a child of her own. Then we weren't wanted anymore. She didn't really care a damn about us.
You hate her very much.
Why the hell shouldn't I hate her? She did the worst thing anybody can do to another human being. Let us believe we were loved and wanted, and then reveal that it was all a sham.
And was she surprised to see you when you turned up at the fete?
She didn't even recognize me. Oh, I'd done a lot of lobbying to get that job. I lived with her for 4 years, and she didn't even recognize me.
You didn't tell her who you were?
Of course I didn't tell her.
Did you try to poison her?
What a ridiculous idea. But I suppose it's part of your job. No, I did not. But it wouldn't surprise me if someone has another go at it. Whoever it is out for her blood. And I wouldn't shed a tear for her.
Have you heard the latest?
From Gossington Hall?
Well, not exactly. You know my friend Gladys?
The girl who works in the canteen at the film studio?
That's the one. Well, apparently, yesterday was Marina Gregg's first day back on the set, and she created something frightful.
What about?
It seems there was something wrong with her morning coffee. She took one sip and said she didn't like the taste of it. She got quite hysterical.
And was there?
Was there what?
Something wrong with it.
I've no idea. Mr. Rudd took it away from her and poured it down the sink.
That was rather rash of him.
Do you think it was poisoned?
Well, since Mr. Rudd saw fit to get rid of it, we shall never know. But I would think it is quite likely.
Damn and blast! I knew I should never have come out without my atomizer.
Signorina Zielinski, where have you been? Mr. Rudd has been asking for you.
I had to go down to the village for something. Where are you off to, anyway?
To the station, to catch the train. My brother Stefano, he works at the Columba d'Oro in Soho. He's very ill. He has the fever, and he wants to see me. Mr. Rudd said I could go. I will be back tonight. But I must go, or I shall not catch the train.
Off you go, Giuseppe. I hope your brother's okay. Oh, who the hell would want to live in the countryside?
Eleanor, I couldn't think where you'd got to.
I had to see one of the gardeners. What's the matter?
I've received an analysis of the coffee that Marina was complaining about.
But you poured it down the sink. I saw you.
Oh, I'm pretty good at sleight of hand. I managed to keep some back.
And was there something wrong with it?
You see for yourself.
Arsenic! And I thought she was just being hysterical.
I don't know what to do, Eleanor. I was so certain I'd be able to make sure nothing else happened to her, and now nothing is safe.
But nobody could tamper with anything here in the house.
People will do anything for money. I doubt if I'd trust Giuseppe too far if it came to that.
But he's been with us for ages.
I know. I just don't know where I am anymore.
I'm sorry. I better get my atomizer. I think I must have left it in my bedroom.
Ardwick Fenn speaking.
This is Chief Inspector Craddock.
And what can I do for you today?
I'm very sorry to tell you that Miss Zielinski died this morning of cyanide poisoning.
Good God. Was it an accident?
Most definitely not. Somebody had put prussic acid in her atomizer.
I see. But why are you ringing me about it?
Since I understand that you'd known her for some years, I was wondering whether you could suggest any motive for her death.
Well, surely Jason Rudd's the person to talk to about that.
We've done so. But there might be a chance that you know something he does not. Are you still there, Mr. Fenn?
I'm still here, Chief Inspector. Well, I will tell you something that may be of assistance to you. The facts are these. A couple of days ago, I received a telephone call. A voice spoke to me in a whisper. It said, "I saw you put the tablets in the glass. You didn't know there had been an eyewitness, did you? That's all for now. Very soon you would be told what to do.
I see.
Of course, the suggestion is utterly absurd, or I shouldn't be telling you all this. But it would seem that Miss Zielinski was embarking on a little blackmail.
You recognized her voice?
Well, it's difficult to recognize a whisper, but she sneezed before ringing off.
And Ella Zielinski suffered from hay fever.
I think that she got hold of the wrong person at her first attempt. It seems possible that eventually she got round to the right person. Blackmail can be a very dangerous game.
It's too dreadful.
Something has happened.
I really don't like to tell you about it, dear. I really don't. It might be a shock to you.
If you don't tell me, somebody will. Someone else has been killed, is that it?
Oh, that's very sharp of you, dear. I don't know what should put such an idea into your head.
As a matter of fact, I was expecting it.
Were you really?
Somebody always sees something. Only sometimes it takes a little while for them to realize what it is they've seen. Who is it that's dead?
The Italian butler. He was shot last night. Though goodness knows why anybody should want to murder a person like that.
I expect that he was trying to blackmail somebody.
He went to London yesterday, they say.
Well, that's very suggestive too, I think.
But that's not where he was killed. Someone shot him in his own rooms, just after he got back to Gossington Hall. But I mustn't waste time gossiping. I'm neglecting you. You haven't had your elevenses. And Cherry, not so much noise. You don't want to disturb Miss Marple, do you?
Cherry, could you come here for a moment?
See what I mean? I'm sorry, Miss Marple. I didn't mean to disturb you.
Come in and close the door. I called you because I want to talk to you. Have you heard that the butler at Gossington Hall was shot dead last night?
What? Giuseppe?
Yes, I believe that was his name.
Didn't know about that. I wonder if Gladys got to see him or not.
Why should Gladys want to see him?
There was something that struck her as a bit funny, and she was going to ask him what he thought about it.
What do you mean, a bit funny?
She was helping out with the drinks on the day of the fete.
Yes.
And there was something she saw that struck her as a bit funny.
What did she see?
To be honest, I thought what she told me was just nonsense.
What was it?
She was talking about Mrs. Badcock and the cocktail business, and she said she was quite near her at the time. And she said she did it herself.
Did what herself?
Spilled her cocktail down her dress and ruined it.
Oh, you mean it was clumsiness?
No, no, not clumsiness. Gladys said that she did it on purpose, that she meant to do it. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? Whatever way you look at it. Was a new dress, too.
No, I can't see any sense in that.
I don't think there was anything to ask Giuseppe about, do you?
No, I don't. But it's always interesting when one doesn't see. If you don't see what it means, you must be looking at it the wrong way round, which is probably the case here. Why should she deliberately spill the cocktail over her own dress? But if Gladys wanted to talk to Giuseppe about it, there's one thing that's certain. It had something to do with the murder attempt on Marina Gregg.
You've got to help me, Jason. I'm so terribly frightened. The killer is getting closer to me every minute. 3 murders. I was almost certain that it was Ella, but now...
What on earth made you think it was Ella?
Because she hated me. Don't men ever see these things? She was madly in love with you. But it can't be Ella, because Ella's dead. Oh, you've got to get me away from this hateful house, Jason. Get me somewhere I can be safe.
Darling, will running away do any good?
Of course it will. We'll get away. Away from this person who hates me.
If there's anyone who hates you that much, it wouldn't be difficult to follow you.
You mean I shall never get away? I shall never be safe again.
Oh, it will be all right. I'll look after you. I'll keep you safe.
Give me my pills. The yellow ones. I must have something to calm me.
Here. Don't take too many, for God's sakes.
Don't worry. Sometimes they don't have any effect anymore. You will take care of me, won't you? Swear you'll take care of me.
Always. To the bitter end.
You You look so odd when you said that.
Odd? Like what?
Like a clown. Laughing at something terribly sad that no one else has seen. Stay with me.
Two murders within 24 hours. Not a very distinguished performance on my part. There are times when I think I should have taken up market gardening.
What you need is a good stiff whiskey and soda.
Well, I won't say no.
And what is more, I shall get it for you myself. We don't want Miss Knight fussing about in here.
You are full of surprises. I'd no idea what you kept in your corner cupboard. Are you sure you're not a secret drinker, Aunt Jane?
I have never been an advocate of teetotalism. A bottle of whiskey is always advisable to keep on the premises in case of a shock or an accident. Is that enough?
Exactly right. You never fail to astonish me.
Now, tell me all about it.
I think I'd rather want you to tell me. You know as much about it as I do. There's something I just don't seem to be able to get to grips with. What am I missing? Who am I looking for? Is this one of those cases where it's the most unlikely person to have committed the crime?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I have said over and over again, not only to you, my dear Dermot, that it is always the most obvious person who commits the crime. One thinks so often of the wife or husband, and very often it is the wife or husband.
Meaning Jason Rudd. But he adores Marina Gregg.
So it would appear. But that might be very clever acting.
Acting. That's just the point. I have to admit I feel rather out of my depth in this film world. All these scandals and divorces. It must be difficult for you, too.
Oh, I don't find it all that difficult. Human nature is just the same everywhere. One comes back, I think, to the question of who could have wanted to kill Marina Gregg? To want to kill her so much as to make a second attempt to do so.
And to kill the secretary and the Italian butler into the bargain.
I understand that the butler went to London on the day of his death. Hmm? Does anyone know what he did there? If you're allowed to tell me, that is.
None of his relatives saw him, so the story about his brother being dangerously ill is obviously a lie. We have no knowledge of what he was doing until 1:45 when he visited his bank and made a deposit of £500 in cash.
£500? Quite an interesting sum. Mm. I should imagine it would be the first instalment of a good many others, wouldn't you?
It rather looks that way. And we have in London Ardwick Fenn, Lola Brewster, and Margot Bence. All three were present at the reception, and all three could have met Giuseppe at a prearranged rendezvous somewhere in London. Oh, by the way, there's something I have to tell you.
Oh, yes? What is that?
Your hunch was right. Margot Bence was one of the children that Marina Gregg adopted.
Margot Bence. I was certain that it had something to do with children.
Even so, I can't believe that after all these years...
I know, one never can. But think back to your own childhood. Can't you remember some incident, some happening that caused you grief, or a passion quite incommensurate to its real importance?
Odd you should say that. When my mother died, I was having dinner in the nursery. My favourite, jam roll pudding. And one of the servants came and told my governess that my mother had been killed in an accident. And now, whenever I see a portion of jam roll pudding in a shop or a restaurant, a great wave of horror and despair comes over me. I don't know, it sounds silly, but...
No, it isn't silly at all. It's given me a sort of idea. But I want you to tell me... if you have notes of it, exactly what Heather Badcock said to Marina Gregg at the reception. I know the gist of it. It is the actual words I need.
Let me see. We've got accounts from your friend Mrs. Bantry, from Jason Rudd and Mr. Badcock. They vary a little.
Exactly. It's the variations I want.
Well, according to Mrs. Bantry, she said something like, "I can't tell you how wonderful this is for me. You won't remember, but years ago in Bermuda I got up from bed when I had chicken pox and came along to see you, and you gave me your autograph. It was one of the proudest days of my life."
I see. She mentioned the place and not the date. Hmm. And Mr. Rudd?
He said that Mrs. Badcock told his wife that she'd got up from bed when she had the flu and had come to meet Marina, and she'd given her her autograph.
No time or place?
No.
And Mr. Badcock?
He was rather vague about it all. She told him that when she was ill as a girl, she'd managed to get up and go to meet Miss Gregg. He didn't go into any particulars. It was evidently in the days before he met her.
I see.
What do you see?
Not as much as I'd like to yet, but I am thankful that girl is safe in Bournemouth.
That girl? What girl?
Gladys, the girl who works in the canteen at the film studios.
How do you know she's in Bournemouth?
Because I sent her there. I gave her some money and told her to take a holiday, but not to tell anybody where she had gone.
Why on earth did you do that?
Because I didn't want her to get killed, of course.
You're quite sure you don't want another lovely cup of tea, dear?
Quite sure, thank you.
I've had such a sweet letter from Lady Conway. You remember my telling you about her? Her memory's getting bad. Can't remember her relatives sometimes and tells them to go away.
Very shrewd of her, I should have thought.
Now, we mustn't be naughty. She's going to spend the next 6 months at the Belgrave in Llandudno and is most anxious for me to join her there.
But please, if you are wanted, if she needs you there and you would like to go...
No, I couldn't possibly do that. What would your nephew say?
Oh, don't you worry about Raymond. I'll take care of him. I am not going to stand in your way. You write to Lady Conway and tell her you'll go. And could you send Cherry in to see me, please?
Well, if you're really sure.
Yes, I'm quite certain. And pass me the telephone, could you?
Thank you, Miss Marple. Lady Conway will be so pleased.
Good morning, Vicar. This is Miss Marple.
Miss Marple.
Yes, I wonder if you could help me on a small point.
Certainly.
You were at the reception at Gossington Hall the other day, I believe.
Yes, I was. And Miss Gregg was most charming. She said she would make a contribution to the Roof Fund.
I believe you were standing quite near when Mrs. Badcock was introduced to her.
Yes, indeed. Mrs. Badcock told her a long story about meeting her in Bermuda and how she'd got out of her sick bed.
And did Mrs. Badcock mention the illness that she was suffering from?
Oh, yes. She said it was measles. At least not real measles. Much less serious. German measles. I remember my cousin Cornelius...
Thank you so much, Vicar.
Yes, Miss Marple?
I want you to get Inch. I want him to come round as soon as possible.
Yes, of course. Shall I say where?
Tell him I want to go to Gossington Hall.
Yes, Miss Marple.
I think you were mentioning the other day that you were thinking of leaving the development.
That's right. It's that Mrs. Hartnell next door. She complains about the slightest noise.
Well, Cherry, how would you like to come and live here? You and your husband could move into the rooms over the old stables.
Oh, well, that would be just marvellous. But what about Miss Knight?
Miss Knight will be leaving shortly.
Oh, Jim would just love it. There'd be such a lot of room and he'd be able to... But I'm forgetting. I haven't told you the news.
What news?
About Mr. Badcock.
What has happened to him?
He's been taken off to the police station. I think he's going to be charged with murder.
Miss Marple?
Yes, I am Miss Marple.
I'm Dr. Gilchrist. I believe you wish to see Mr. Rudd.
It is necessary that I should.
I'm afraid that's just not possible.
Then I shall stay here until it is possible.
I'm afraid you don't understand, Miss Marple. Marina Gregg died last night in her sleep.
Died? How?
An overdose of her sleeping medicine.
Was it an accident?
Well, that is definitely my view.
But it could be suicide?
It could, but that is most unlikely.
Or someone could have given it to her.
A most remote contingency. And a thing like that would be quite impossible to prove.
I'm sorry, Dr. Gilchrist, but it is now more imperative than ever that I should see Mr. Rudd. There is something I have to tell him.
I'll see what I can do.
I understand that you insist on seeing me, Miss Marple. What is it that can be so important?
I am sorry about your wife's death. I must ask you to believe that I should not intrude upon you unless it was absolutely necessary. I wish to prevent an injustice being done to an innocent man.
An innocent man?
Arthur Badcock. He's being questioned by the police now.
Questioned in connection with my wife's death? But that's absurd. He didn't even know her.
Oh, yes, Mr. Rudd. He knew her. He was married to her.
Arthur Badcock? You sure you haven't...
He was married to your wife when she was very young, before she went into pictures.
My wife was first married to an Alfred Beadle. He was in real estate.
And he changed his name to Arthur Badcock. He's still in real estate. He could never really have kept up with Marina Gregg.
So, what do you want me to do for you, Miss Marple?
I want, if I may, to stand on the spot where you and your wife received the guests on the day of the fete, if that is not too much trouble.
My wife stood just here. People came up the stairs. She shook hands with them and passed them on to me.
She was facing that picture. Giacomo Bellini's Laughing Madonna, a painting of a happy mother with her child. I understand now. The whole thing is really quite simple, isn't it?
Simple? I don't think I understand you.
Oh, that will be Chief Inspector Craddock. Perhaps it would be as well if he joined us.
Miss Marple was talking, Chief Inspector, of the day when Mrs. Badcock was murdered.
I think you should carry on, Miss Marple.
I was saying that it is all really quite simple. My friend Mrs. Bantry quoted some lines from a poem by Tennyson. The mirror cracked from side to side. The curse is come upon me, cried the Lady of Shalott. She saw this frozen look come over your wife's face.
Haven't we been over this a great many times?
Yes, but we will have to go over it once more. The reason for that expression was because your wife was looking not at Heather Badcock, but at the picture of a happy mother holding up a happy child. The moment Heather Badcock began her story about that meeting in Bermuda, she was doomed. The curse had fallen upon her.
Could you make yourself a little clearer?
Of course. The difficulty was that nobody told you what Heather Badcock actually said.
But they did. I read it all out to you.
But no one told you the most important fact. Heather Badcock was suffering from German measles.
What on earth has that got to do with it?
It's not a very serious illness, really, but it is extremely infectious. And there's one thing you have to remember. If a woman contracts it in the first weeks of pregnancy, there is a chance that it may have a very serious effect. It can cause a child to be born blind or mentally defective. And that, I believe, is what happened to your wife's child, Mr. Rudd.
It's quite true. Marina told me that she developed German measles early on in her pregnancy. She never knew how or from whom she caught the disease.
And then a perfectly strange woman came up the stairs and told her, with an air of being quite proud of what she'd done. I think, Mr. Rudd, that you understood quite well what that moment meant to Marina Gregg.
Oh, yes. I understood.
It was too much for her. Here was this woman who had ruined her happiness and destroyed the sanity and health of her child. She wanted to punish her, to take her life. And unfortunately, the means were ready to hand.
The Carmo.
She was carrying it with her. It was very easy to do. She put the stuff into her own glass. She put the glass down on the table, and presently she managed to jog Heather Badcock's arm so that her drink was spilt down her new dress.
But I thought you said it was Heather Badcock.
That is what I understood from what Cherry said. But when Gladys told her that she did it on purpose, she didn't mean Heather Badcock. She meant Marina Gregg.
Of course. It's so obvious when you think about it.
I imagine, Mr. Rudd, that your wife did not realize the seriousness of what she'd done, and certainly not the risk she was running until afterwards. But when she did realize it, she was horribly afraid. Afraid that someone had noticed her. She could see only one way out.
To make it appear that she was the intended victim.
She did fantastic things. She wrote threatening letters to herself. She put arsenic in her own coffee. But there was one person who could see through it all.
This is only a theory of yours.
You may put it like that if you wish. But you know quite well, don't you, that I'm speaking the truth. You knew from the first when you heard the mention of German measles. You knew, and you were frantic to protect her. But you didn't realise how much you would have to protect her from. You didn't realise that there would be other deaths. Ella Zielinski, who was just wildly guessing. Giuseppe, who was trying his hand at blackmail. You were frantic to prevent her from doing more harm. I'm very sorry for you. You cared for her very much, didn't you?
That, I believe, is common knowledge.
And you know, don't you, Chief Inspector, that poor Arthur Badcock had nothing at all to do with it. He came to the fete because he wanted to catch a glimpse of the girl he had married long ago.
She didn't even recognize him. At least, well, she said nothing to me.
We didn't really suspect him. But after we found out, and after Miss Gregg's death, naturally we had to have him in for questioning. You don't have to worry about him, though, Miss Marple.
Would you allow me to see her, Mr. Rudd?
Yes. You can see her. You seem to understand her very well.
She was a great actress. And a beautiful and very unhappy woman. Death was really the only way of escape left open to her. It is very fortunate for her that she happened to take an overdose. Or was given it.
She was so lovely. And she had suffered so much.
He said, "She has a lovely face. God in his mercy lend her grace. The Lady of Shalott."
In Agatha Christie's The Mirror Cracked from Side to Side, Miss Marple was played by June Whitfield. Chief Inspector Craddock, Ian Lavender. Marina Gregg, Gail Honeycutt. Jason Rudd, James Lawrenson. Dolly Bantry, Pauline Jameson. Miss Knight, Susie Aitchison. Cherry, Jane Whittenshaw. Heather Badcock, Jilly Bond. Arthur Badcock, David Timpson. Lola Brewster, Joanna Munro. Ardwick Fenn, Nigel Anthony. Ella Zielinski, Liz Golding. Dr. Gilchrist, John Hartley. Margot Bentz, Sarah Jane Holm. Giuseppe, Saverio Deodato. Inspector Cornish, David Antrobus. Other parts were played by members of the cast.
The Mirror Cracked from Side to Side was dramatized by Michael Bakewell. It was directed by Enid Williams for BBC Radio 4 and is published in the UK by BBC Worldwide.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.